I had kind of more of that in my head.
You're next.
Number 5.
I know.
You're
no one has volunteered.
Are
no
you serious? Oh my god.
Yes.
Surrounded. Top notch.
Now, this is a very serious and tragic piece. It's called An Abbreviated Life. Mr. and Mrs. O'D had great plans for their son. They thought the world of him. Gerard was a VIP in their eyes. His father, a CEO with the IFA, had studied in UCD, from which he had an MBA. He now drove a BMW. His mother worked as a PRO with the IGWU. Now, most of the neighbours' children were sent to the local VEC, but the O'Dea's decided to send their son to a private CBS. They felt education was the way to get on. Now, months before his leaving cert, Gerard, G-O-D for short, applied to the CAO for various third level courses. His first choice was DCD. He wanted to study for BSc in computing as a backup. He also applied to DCU, DIT, and UCD. Luckily, he was accepted into Trinity. And well, 4 years flew by, and Gerard passed all his exams, including his finals, and was awarded a science degree, QED. His parents arranged a party and sent out invitations to friends and relations marked RSVP. But just days before the party, Gerard was crossing O'Connell Street, where he wanted to post a CV in the GPO, when his iPhone rang. He began rooting frantically in his bag, in which all his computer gadgets had become entangled. The USB lead for recharging his iPod had become entangled with a DCMI cable. The AC-DC adapter for his Ace's iPad was obscured by an LED torch for his bike. And while he was trying to separate all of these, he was struck by an SUV and hurled into the path of an oncoming bus. CIA. He was still alive, however. He struggled to his feet, still determined to get to his graduation, which meant so much to him and his parents. Dizzy and shaken, he was staggering towards the pavement and safety when he was struck again by a van going the other way. ESP. But Paulie was still alive. He was a real fighter. He didn't want to let his parents down. One day, he hoped to get a PhD. An onlooker who had seen the accident was in shock. She watched as he finally collapsed on the pavement. She called an ambulance and told them it was urgent and they must come ASAP. The girl then texted a friend with trembling fingers. OMG, she tapped. I do hope he'll be okay. By the time the HSE came for James, his heart had stopped, but one of the ambulance men gave him CPR and he revived a little. He was rushed to A&E, by which time he was semi-conscious. The hospital was in disarray due to a recent outbreak of MRA. As he was being rattled along in the trolley to have an MRI, a nurse asked him if he had VHI, at which point he fell back and died. Now, the parents were grief-stricken. The priest officiating at the funeral mass was Father Albright, OSA, Opus Sanctorum Angelorum. He said that while it was sad when a human life was foreshortened in this way, at least Gerard's death had been mercifully quick. The parents stood for a long time over the grave of their son, staring at the headstone, trying to feel consoled at the quickness of his death, and that he had at least letters after his name. Gerard O'D, BSc, RIP.
Mary O'Connell.
Thanks, Mary. The last time I read this, Paul Muldoon, I was actually listening to it, and it is called A Proverbial Dog's Dinner After Symposium by Paul Muldoon. I think you would gather the reason for the dog's dinner. It's very much in the news at the moment. But this is a jumble of proverbs. Proverbs contain wisdom, but those I've picked are jumbled back to front and clearly nicked. While you're recovering from the credit crunch, you cannot have your cake as a free lunch. For Dad, who finds the toy his baby hurled, home is where the cradle rules the world. His wife may whisper if he gets too wild, "Don't throw the baby out and spoil the child." She knows, as more financial troubles loom, the pen is mightier than a new broom. And tells her spouse, who's banking on more pay, "Don't count your chickens while the cat's away." So often in the past, that man's been warned, "Money is the root of a woman scorned." Remembering past flings and one-night stands, the road is to hell is paved with idle hands. A bartender may give advice that's cheap. If you can't be good, look before you leap. Some drunk calls out before he tries to sing, "A friend in need never flew on one wing." Before I leave, here's a thing to ponder. A problem halved makes the heart grow fonder.
Collection elsewhere, but I'm not, for reasons I'll explain in a minute. So I just thought I'd start with one haiku which I wrote many years ago, but it was around this time of year and it's kind of topical again. So, biting wind on Halfpenny Bridge, will this winter ever end? And speaking of the winter weather, I actually have the Beast from the East and Storm Emma to thank for this poem, because a month ago today, actually, an uncle of mine died, and later that week was the storm and the cold weather, and I had 3 days off work, so it meant that I was pottering around the house and I couldn't really go out because it was snowbound, and so I was thinking about my uncle and I was jotting down memories and thoughts about him, and it resulted in this sonnet. And then I've just been working on it ever since. So I hope this is the final version. I think the only thing that needs explaining is I mentioned benzene rings on the blackboard. So my uncle was, he lectured in chemistry in UCD. And I actually studied science in UCD in the 1980s. And I had him as a lecturer, which is quite unusual to have your own uncle as a lecturer. But after he died, I thought it was quite a unique perspective, even at the funeral. Like, I was the only one who had known him in his workplace. We all knew him as an uncle and brother and so on, but I was the only one who'd actually been lectured by him. So, anyway, this is called, his name is Ivo, so it's called Ivo's Hands. Ivo's hands once gifted Christmas tickets for pantos and held the cine camera each year at christenings, communions and confos, to capture our young smiles and the odd tear. They also drew with chalk in Theatre A a honeycomb of blackboard benzene rings, close to his Blackrock home on Dublin Bay, containing all his modest belongings. For thirsty guests, those hands would often pour the pioneer's full tumbler of booze, would write campaigning letters to deplore injustices he spotted in news. His hands, because his faith had never lapsed, were joined in prayer, now stay forever clasped. Thank you.
This is called Small Talk. You say I am unruly. I think I'm interesting. What does one talk about when talking about nothing? So afraid to scratch the surface. It appears I accidentally bought a ticket to the circus of politeness and small talk. I want my money back. Say what you really want. Go on. I will not wade idly with my fanciful yellow inflatable duckering in a sea of conventional. I have better parties to go to and better oceans to explore.
We're going to stop tapping now, Chris. I wrote this some time ago for my true love. She wasn't very impressed for some reason. The poet, misunderstood, seeks reconciliation with his love. Shut the gates of Babylon. Don't let me back in. I'm off to court my girlfriend with my lopsided grin. I'll bring her the seven oceans powdered in a tin, the coat of glistening frog spawn that reaches to her shin. In a carriage drawn by earthworms, I'll journey to her garden, and with a thousand lies of truth, I'll beg her dearest pardon. Shut the gates of Babylon, don't let me back in. I'm off to court my girlfriend with my lopsided grin.
Philip.
This is a work in progress. A misfit of stars in a scaffolding will fall like frost, collect like snow, bid layers of lies that they were once shooting past us in untruthful hope. I'll shepherd across, build snow palaces from landed stars disguised as frozen water drops. They'll melt through the floorboards into the ceilings of the floors below. Their constellations will mirror my palaces till they flow once more. Thank you.
I recently watched a film about South America, Chile in the 70s, and so this is just about kind of politics in that part of the world at that time, which is a bit nuts. So there's no title, but it's something to do with Che Guevara. Will your revolution mean anything? Did you ever dream the extent of your ideological legacy would be a series of fashionable t-shirts and hats adorned with your face hanging ironically for sale alongside similar merch from such capitalists as Bob Marley or Kurt Cobain? Your legacy is bent and sold, and your children's children will think that Pinochet is a type of fine wine.
This is called At the STI Clinic. The first line I kind of got from Anne Sexton, who's like my favorite poet. Love, that red disease, bringing everyone together at the STI clinic. Wanting to be wanted, that unutterable need, making the blood fizz into a blushing foam. Doll eyes glow in the bedroom moon, hoping for a text like a star wish from a one-night stand that became a vague situationship. the discordant buzz and ping of late night texts and longing, all of it swallowed by the silence of hospital daylight. Footprints dripping red with lust are sterilized by disinfectant at the entrance. After inspecting the half moons of my nail beds, I notice a moat of blue linoleum coursing our circle of plastic chairs where ankles are crossed and tucked beneath, so discreet they are a sexless clergy of brown shoes. They rise like the nurses calling holy orders. The shoes leave and leave us among flyers with cartoonized STIs. Gonorrhea is a bumblebee dunked in its own putrid honey. I cross my legs and wait and tuck my feet beneath the seat.
So I do two a cappella songs that kind of match, if that's okay, and they're short. And one is written by the tigress watching a mother with her baby, and they sleep on the floor, and it all stayed in my mind. And the second one was written by the banks of the Lee, when artists were out in Carrigadroit Castle, and they talked about McCarthy Moore being hung by his own brains. But I kind of felt it kind of won because we were still there paying homage. So if I could do this quickly. They slept on the floor, sang their Baghdad lullabies. Where have they all gone now? I wonder as their time flies. Some trees live when fell, some just lose their branches. Some trees have leaves so dry and yellow, white lilies creep to olives. I cut to the next one. No pain here in the misty rain, in stillness, no breath, suspended for all the good reasons. Thoughts eddy swirling down in dark bodies, urgent flood, drifts with a lazy majesty. McCarthy Moore strongly held his title to preserve. Suspended by his own reins, hoisted, open-viewed. His rocky outcrop braces shoulders to the river. Passed in perfect standing still in a time-raised river. We are one standing here by the turgid riverbed to recapture this watercolor music.
Again for him. So that's it. Gerald McCarthy. Thanks, I was going to read something else, but I can't press the time, so I'll just read the five word poem that I never read because I bottled it. When Mary said, "Do you have anything? Is there anyone left?" And then it wasn't really finished, so then I finished it in the break, and here it is. Not enough people calling each other out these days. Whatever happened to getting straight to the crux of it? Now it's all meander, flirt around the issue in the name of parody, a propped up equity campaign, endgame democracy. We'll all have an equal bite of the poisoned apple, thrust before you by a silent order of scumbags. When characterizing someone as a bag is taken as slander, how does one even begin to challenge the scum within it?
Nadiloga Dernach. agus titimir an talamh gachla. Níon gramadach ag an spéir. Dúc ag fiosrm de bhór. Trína céile atáin de loga, táim chun fanach leat agus de bhotún go léir. Is cuitó ag briste é idir cuitóige. Tarlam go dtí tír na nóg, tarlam chun croth teolaigh fáin lóg. Ach for air, bhí an sim a gcoinn tá an sim sin imithe, gan áras tá sé caiilte anois mo bhinne, gan áras ná bhfuil tú chun amadáin ceart a dhéanamh asam arís. Bhí saol ann, chuine mis an bhí, is féidir leat tos nua ag chóramh na bhí. Teach ag difríocht ar na dlóga déirneach, trí difríocht an iver agus iver an ís.
I didn't know my first time here, so
I'm
watching you today. Oh, shit, I'm trying to find this. Okay. So I've written poetry for about 42, 43 years, and I got Julia Cameron's book about 7 weeks ago, and yeah, I just, my God. So I just sort of wrote this. I did some training about 19 years ago, and I just sort of wrote this the other night. It's called My Child and Me. Sitting on the edge of a cliff, staring out to sea, here I sit, this small boy and me. Nothing strange except that I am him and he is me. Two lost souls looking out to sea. Struggling hard to stay alive, doing what we need in order to survive. For I am him, and he is me. The vision changes and I am now a man, minding this child the best I can. For I am him, and he is me. I hug him and hold him, and my heart, it breaks. And suddenly something deep inside me awakes. For I am him, and he is me. He turns, looks and smiles, and is no longer afraid. And my heart skips a beat, and suddenly I'm glad, for I am no longer him, and he is no longer me.